Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, everybody! Recruiting Animal here on December 11th, 2013. It's cold in Toronto. Traffic. I won't go into that. Anyway, yesterday I saw a posting on Quora. I do read Quora. And it gave me a new reason why someone might want to leave his or her current employer, something I'd never heard before. Here, let me tell you about it. Many years ago, this guy named James, he was the author of the article, he started working as an intern at a software company. However, the VP at that company was also named James. So they told James, the intern, that he would have to go by the name of Jimmy. They eventually hired him, and he worked there for 8 years until finally he just couldn't take it anymore. He couldn't stand being called Jimmy. He really believed, this guy really believed, that he had lost, he'd lost his true self when he lost his name, and that he became a workaholic, and he was very unhappy, all because he had lost his natural sense of direction. Here's what he said in the article. It wasn't my name, Jimmy. He said, it wasn't the name my parents had given me for 8 years out of my entire life. I was renamed as Jimmy. Every project I delivered, each email I answered, everything I did was under this name that was not my own. So finally, back to me, finally he decided that he would have to leave the company, and he let everyone know. He gave him plenty of time to transfer knowledge from him to the other people in the firm. But when they found out, when the other people found out that he was so crazy about Jimmy, they started calling him James. So in the end, he didn't have to leave. So, happy ending. But you know what? This seems pretty foolish to me. Can you imagine recruiting somebody and you say, what would you hope to gain from a move that you don't have now? And the guy says, I can't stand being called Jimmy. When you heard that, would you say to yourself, great, I'm going to be able to move this guy? Or would you think, is this guy a nut? Because, I mean, it really is. Well, I won't go on, but is it really going to change your personality if somebody calls you Jimmy instead of James or Richard instead of Nick? You know, Bob Dylan said something relevant here. He said, you can call me Terry, or you can call me Jimmy, you can call me Bobby, or you can call me Zimmy, you can call me RJ, you can call me Ray, you can call me anything, but just don't call me Jackson. And Jerry, what show is this?
This is the Recruiting Animal Show!
Thank you, Jerry!
Right out of air, man. That's rare.
That was a good shout. That was good shout and good timing.
I changed it up a little bit.
And it threw my timing off
and my breathing.
No. I think you did a good job because you weren't eating during my intro today. Okay?
Oh, no. I did, though, just get back from driving 20 miles for a hamburger.
Okay.
How's that for carbon footprint? Huh?
Yeah, I guess. What kind of hamburger? I mean, if you really...
It was a double-decker. It's called a Big Wally.
Can you only get it in...
At the Penguin
Indiana?
Point, yeah, in Auburn.
Okay.
Or Warsaw.
Yeah, let's see if the Warsaw, yeah. Let's see if Chris Murdoch, the guest, is here. Chris, are you here?
Yes.
Chris Murdoch.
Okay. Yes.
I can't hear very well. I wasn't quite ready for the... I had the volume all the way up for the scream, and wasn't quite ready.
You'll never hear that on any other show. It's patented. Okay, so let's see. Who are you? I'm going to say, and then you can add something if you think I missed the essentials. So you're the senior partner at a company called IQ Talent Partners. Is that right?
Yep, interested, qualified talent.
Okay. Oh, that's what it's. Ha ha ha! Isn't that funny?
Yeah, we're trying
and
to be cute. We're cute.
Yeah, you're very cute. And you recruit what kind of people?
Executive. We're primarily an executive search firm, director level on up. But we also support in-house executive recruiting functions with sourcing and research.
Okay. Any special line of business?
Nope, we are industry agnostic. I mean, our current clients
are... You're a generalist. We call that a generalist. Yeah. You're a generalist. Is that right?
Yes, I'm a generalist.
Okay, great.
I like bigger words.
Okay, yeah. What if a candidate tells you she wants to take a job primarily so she can work with the hiring manager that you're working with? She just thinks this person is great. Then a month later... that person quits. The manager quits. She didn't know he was being recruited himself. What would you do? She calls you up and she said, "Chris, I'm not very happy."
Well, typically, it's because we really partner with the hiring manager. We've never had that. We've never had that happen except one time.
Yeah.
I shouldn't say never, but it only has happened one time, and it was actually back when I was at Yahoo.
Yeah. Are you saying that because you partner so closely with the hiring manager that he or she tells you, "Look, Chris, don't tell my boss, but I'm job hunting myself, and
if this person falls
in love with me?"
I've actually had three executives tell me that I'm talking to different search firms. I might not be here, so let's try to find my replacement. And so, in a few cases
that's
where
different, Chris, don't change it. You know what?
I told the candidate.
People aren't going to like the way I'm handling this, but don't change the topic. I'm not talking about recruiting the hiring manager. I'm talking about what do you tell the candidates then when they say, "Hey, I went to speak with Bill and I really hit it off with him. I want to work with this guy. I think I can learn a lot from him." What are you going to tell the candidate?
No, then I turn around and say, "Well, hey, now I know that the person's looking." No, I tell the person that the executive might be leaving. Are you interested in taking that person's job? And so then I start looking for the person's replacement. I've done that three times.
You know
and
what?
So I've been
Jerry,
able to
did
convert.
You understand what this guy's telling me?
No, you're losing me, dude. You're losing me.
Who's losing
I've never
who?
Had the
Am
exact example
you?
That
or
you're looking
he
for.
Is he losing you?
He's losing me. And I'm sorry to say that. I'm normally the easygoing guy. But I'm afraid I'm out of touch on this story.
Yeah, look, Chris. You can't tell anybody. You can't reveal this person's secret. If I tell you that I'm being headhunted and I'm looking, you can't go out and tell people because it might get to my boss and I don't want him to know, right? Or do all the hiring managers who tell you that they're looking, have they already told their boss that they're in the market?
In the three cases, only one did. The other two weren't, but they were asking me to find their replacement.
Okay, but I'm talking about
and that was public knowledge, and I was allowed to tell people that. I was allowed to tell people that.
Before I lose all the listeners, okay, you were hired to recruit this person's subordinate, and
yes.
You send somebody out for the job, and they say, "I love this guy. I want to work for him," and he says, "I'm not going to be there in a week or two." What do you do?
I tell the candidate. I always do. I'm a full transparency guy. I tell the candidate if I'm allowed to.
Isn't that
and in every case that I've had it, I tell the candidate.
Isn't that betraying a confidence that the hiring manager was nice enough to share with you?
If in my cases, I was allowed to tell the candidate. But if I'm not allowed to tell, I've got to go forward. I've got to do my job. I've got to fill that job.
Okay,
and then I'm going
to
coach
after 10 minutes of struggle, I'm coming back to the first question I asked you. Okay, you place the candidate, even though you've hidden the information from her that the manager she's dying to work for, the guy who's motivating her move, he's not going to be there. You hid that information, and so now she calls you a month later, and she says, "Hey, I'm not happy. I signed on to work with manager X, and now he's gone. I want to get out of here." What are you going to say?
Let's work it out. Let's talk to the next person up. So the person's already left. Let's talk to the next person up. Let's see if there's a way to keep you there. If not, you'll work on the transition out, and I kick off the search again.
You'll mediate problems between
the discussion. I'm going to try to keep him or her in that job. I'm going to do everything I can to keep him or her in that job. Get that person satisfied, and then if the person just can't stay because they don't want to necessarily wait for the next person to be hired. They don't like the next person. I'll help them transition out.
Okay.
I'll make
now,
a job.
Well, you
other
brought
companies.
Up a great point. I think that that's a question we should all be asking our candidates. If they're basing the move solely on the hiring manager, say, well, would you be happy in a scenario where the hiring manager that you like wasn't there?
And, I think that's what you care, Kathy. Kathy, let me say, I think you've got an answer there. Somebody says, I really like this boss, that's why I want to go. No matter what you know about him, you say, look, that's great. That's a great reason to move. I'd want to move to work with him as well if I were you. However, there's no guarantee how long he's going to be there. We don't know. So you have to think about that in advance. That's the answer to the question. Oh, let me ask you another question, Babe. Thank you, Kathy. What we were talking about, Chris, have you ever actually, could you tell us a real-life story where you actually had to mediate between a new hire that you placed in the company and the management because the new hire wasn't happy there?
Yes, it's fresh, and I can't talk about it. So let me think of a...
Ooh, I like that.
Let's just move
yeah,
on.
Well,
I
let me,
like
let me
that.
Think for, let me
let's
think,
have
let me
an
think
example for future guests.
Yeah, let me just think through it real quick. Essentially what happened was we had a position open. We filled it. We knocked it out of the park. The candidate set certain expectations, and those expectations were completely communicated. And ultimately, the hiring manager wasn't happy. The candidate wasn't happy, and so now we are currently mediating the situation. We're essentially saying, hey, this candidate set every expectation. If I say what the expectations were, it could be figured out.
Yeah,
so
you don't have to. Okay.
It was full transparency up front by this candidate. He said, I will do X, Y, Z. This is what I'm going to do. This is how I'm going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And they hired him. And then, you know, 3 months later, 4 months later, you know, they're not happy with his performance. But the thing is, he's actually exceeding what he said he would do. And so now we've been mediating the discussion, and we had to remind the hiring manager, listen, this is what the candidate said. This is what the candidate wanted. You either deal with it or let's work on the transition out. And the candidate, you know, is actually he's not a candidate anymore. He's the hire. The hire is, you know, sticking to his guns. He's not willing to relax those criteria. And so now the hiring manager is actually just dealing with it. And we had to mediate.
It sounds like you're having a lot of friction with your client. They're not happy with you anymore. Is that right? Yes or no?
No, the client's really happy with us because we've been very transparent. We have a client called Gandhi. We don't bullshit.
Yeah.
That's their slogan on their website is no bullshit. So we tell our clients exactly what's going on, and we have no problem pushing back.
Jerry, is that approve? Do you approve that as a business?
No, it's too much shock factor.
No, not in this case. Not in this case.
I can go with it as a policy. I mean, it's kind of a policy of mine, too. I mean, I think it's anybody who deals in reality and is able to talk about it, that's their policy. But I don't think
I'm a consultant.
Put it in
I'm not a yes man. I'm trying to put the best person in the best butt in the seat.
No, I think
and,
you missed our point. You know, that's a bad – Jerry doesn't approve of swearing in business language.
I really don't.
Oh. Oh, okay.
But that's just me.
I wanted to ask. Okay.
That's because I'm in Indiana.
Yeah. Okay.
We don't
know. Hoosier.
So you know what? I was reading your website, and I think the best song for you. We haven't done a song for a while, but the song that expresses your essence is "Getting to Know You." Do you know that song, Chris? Chris.
Sing a few bars.
Getting to know you. Getting to know all about you.
About
you. Know that one?
You.
Yeah,
yes,
let's do it together, okay? And so we'll just do the – you don't know the lyrics, do you?
No, I have to, I'd have to sing
you,
along with
getting
you.
Getting to know you – listen, getting to know you, getting to know all about you, getting to like you, getting to hope you like me. Getting to like you, getting – okay, so we'll sing together. Anybody else who wants to can join in, okay? I'll count to three. We're going to sing. Okay, Chris?
Okay, let me just pull up the lyrics. I got this smartphone.
Yeah, give it – yeah, good work.
Okay. He's pretty good because I copied different lyrics.
I was in the middle of all right, here we go. So we're starting getting to know you, I got it.
Yeah, okay, well, let's do the first line then. 1, 2, 3.
Getting to know you.
To know you. Come on. Getting to know
all about you.
Getting to like you. Getting to hope you.
Like me.
Haven't you noticed? Suddenly I'm bright and
breezy.
Because of all the beautiful and new things
I'm learning about you.
At least I got to pat you on the back. That was a great effort, okay?
Excellent.
Now, explain the
idea. You just lost about 80% of your audience because I'm terrible at karaoke.
Which would be four people.
Keeping the stats clean here.
Okay. The idea behind your firm, that's what we say, the idea for IQ Talent Partners sprouted from conversations between me and my friend. I'm changing the words a bit, about how executive search could be done better. We decided to launch an executive search firm that brings the personal connection and passion back into the field. IQ Talent Partners harnesses the power of human connection to their companies with the most interested, qualified, and talented candidates for jobs in companies of all sizes across many industries. Right?
I love that.
What does that mean?
It means you use the phone only, right? You don't use social media to recruit people. Is that what you're saying there?
Well, we'd like the personal touch. So we do email, we do the in-mails, we do the emails, but we don't rely just on those things. We do reach out and touch somebody.
Reach out is a bad word you're not allowed to use in this show, okay?
Oh, reach out? Okay, sorry.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, so, but, you know, the context you used it in wasn't that bad. But you know what? If you would have said, I only use the phone, I never make initial contacts by any other means, that would have been very distinctive. But when you say, yeah, I use in-mail, I use email, and I use the phone, that kind of waters it down, don't you think?
Well, no, not at all, because there are so many recruiters out there that just piss me off because all they do is send an in-mail, and they go, oh, didn't respond, I'm done. They don't follow up, you know, and so we hit – sometimes we'll use the phone first. Sometimes we only use the phone for certain positions. You know, recruiting general managers for car dealerships, they don't look at their email. They don't use LinkedIn. So we have to get on the phone. We just go calling through the list. Other positions, at the Recruiting Trends Conference, somebody was incredibly stoned and said, get rid of email, get rid of the phone, get rid of the resume ATS systems, and just call everyone. That's ridiculous. You can't call everyone. So we call the best people. We do the diamond recruiting approach where you, because of all the tools we have access to, we do research. We look to see who the best, you know, maybe 5 to 20 people are. Call them first. Email them. You know, try to get them on the phone, then slowly, like, expand out. So
what tools do you use to identify the top 5 or 25?
Okay, so we're using, you know, of course, LinkedIn Recruiter, ZoomInfo, Hoovers, Jigsaw, WebQueries.
They don't give you how they're performing.
This is all based on – we have to find that out. You can't tell that necessarily from a resume or from a LinkedIn profile.
Not from any of those.
No, but what we're looking for is the people that are most likely to fit. So we're looking for indicators that we can search on, and then we reach out to those candidates that we think would hit the mark the best or the closest and start calling them first. In most cases, some of the candidates from the first set, anywhere from 1 to 3 end up being on the final slate. However, you know, we'd usually put forward slates of about 6 or less.
Animal, have we clarified who is we?
Yeah, well, actually, that's a whole other issue. We can move to skip
okay.
there. I just wanted to see what
do you mind? I'm just trying to picture this. When you say we, is it you and your
I have a bunch of nerds.
Let me see,
the structure of his firm is kind of interesting. There's 3 partners, a senior partner, a managing partner, and a partner. Then there's a knowledge manager. Then there's a marketing manager. Then there's three strategic advisors. I'm really curious to find out.
So you got some recruiters who know what they're doing and some recruiters who don't?
No,
what?
I don't think that's
it. I get tired of the titles.
Hold on. Every recruiting firm I've ever worked for, they were poorly managed. They could place executives at any other company, but ultimately the offices, the people that ran the businesses, mm-hmm. the individual offices, were still expected to run the operation and do execution and still bring in money. So I changed it up. My buddy Tom Millick, the managing partner, he does not have a recruiting background, but he runs the firm. He makes sure everything's on point. I am not good with numbers. I don't want to manage the money. I don't want to do billing. So I separated that out. And so Tom does do some execution. Ryan and I both grew up the research route at Heidrick in Seattle. So we really understand the research. But we have six incredibly smart nerds in our Nashville Executive Research Division. So we run the leverage model. So they do sourcing and research for us so that I can do client management, interview candidates. I can do reach out when I need to.
Cool.
You've got a problem. Wait a second. He's got a problem with his RAM, his working memory. I told you, don't say reach out, and you keep saying it, okay?
Hey, this guy worked at Heidrick and struggles. Let him say whatever he wants, man. You got to respect the guy that's got that on his resume.
He doesn't have all those six guys, the sorcerers, on his website. Is the knowledge manager their manager?
We just hired them. We just hired four of them, and we're getting ready to update our website because we're getting ready to launch something else.
Is the knowledge manager their boss?
No, I am.
What's the knowledge manager?
He just kind of helps drive the process. So he's not full-time with us. He is kind of consulting on our process, our systems. He's helping to make sure that we're capturing all the knowledge correctly so we can use it in the future.
Is he kind of a thought leader?
Software advisor.
We're trying to groom him to be a thought leader. We want him to do more speaking. We want him to do some of that stuff. I love to hear myself talk. That's why I'm on the show.
Yeah, I'm with you. Uh-huh. I've been there.
Okay. You might not be happy in an hour from now. You're on the show. Okay, what do these strategic advisors do, though? They're the mystery men for me. What do these strategic advisors do?
So Scott Levine, he's the director of human capital for Parthenon Capital. He and I work together at Heidrick. He's really pushing us on the sales side of things. You know, he wants us to be constantly selling the searches. And so he kind of advises on, you know, how we bring in the new business, and then Sada, he was back in the day when he was at Tandy Computer. He helped build the TRS-80. If anyone's out there old enough, so he drove the growth of the Tandy Computer business and was the driving force behind the TRS-80 and one of the early clients for Microsoft. So he's been around the block.
That's all I care about.
Oh, he does for us. He makes introductions. He gets us networked around the Bay Area.
Okay. Is it okay if I ask you? I told you, if there's something I shouldn't ask, tell me. But how do you pay these strategic advisors? Do they get a percentage of the placements, or
they
do you pay them
They do have an equity position in the firm.
Oh, okay.
But
so,
without having to put any money in.
Marketing manager, it sounds like she's not a sales rep. She doesn't go out and sell the searches. Is she a part-timer as well?
Yes, she is. She is. She's actually the managing partner's wife, and so she was the. She does all of our PR press releases and stuff like that.
Could you call the managing? Are you going to feel bad later on? Like the managing partner sounds like an office manager to me. Are you going to start thinking?
No. He's doing execution. He's managing clients, but ultimately he's trying to make sure that I'm out there selling and not having to deal with the.
I get cut up so much at the end of the show when people rate the show. I'm going to ask the animal crew who's online right now. They're either on the show or they're on Twitter. You know, give me some feedback now. Rate the show now. Tell me it's almost halfway through.
As the thought leader for the after show. I'm digging it so far.
Here's the other thing about one of the things that the other motivating factor for starting IQ Talent. I got laid off from Yahoo. I got laid off.
Did Marissa lay you off?
April 2009.
Hold on, do you think she's good looking? Do you think she's nice looking? Is that sexist for me to say?
Marissa Tomei.
Marissa
Mayer.
Sure
she's hot.
Marissa Mayer.
Oh.
I wasn't there when she came over. In fact, I turned Google down three times, and they turned me down one time.
Uh-huh.
They tried to recruit me a couple times, and I just couldn't do it. So I went to Yahoo instead. Yeah, I think I won. But the thing was, I got laid off and started the firm after 2 weeks, used my severance package, grew the firm,
mm-hmm.
And, you know, I worked with the people I wanted to work with. And we had a lot of fun, and, you know,
and
here
Tom
we are.
Was your roommate. He was your roommate in college, right?
Yep. He was my roommate senior year, but we met freshman year.
I see. And that's why you keep – I know, I had some really great pictures of you that I edited to put on the show page, and Blog Talk Radio wouldn't put them up, but there's nice pictures of you with your kid, and you're always wearing the Vanderbilt sweatshirt. It's something I don't have a real love for.
Go
my
Doors.
Alma mater.
Go Doors.
I just don't get that stuff.
Well, okay. it was a big deal for me. I mean, Vanderbilt, you know, and I will tell you, my nerds are all Vanderbilt grads. In fact, one of them was the punter for the Vanderbilt Commodores that won the Music City Bowl last year, and he played for my Chargers. I actually read an article about him and contacted him through Facebook to try to recruit him.
Hey, Animal, asked for some feedback.
Yeah.
You're starting to get too far off into name dropping and stuff. You're losing listeners. Get us back on point here, dude.
Well, you're the one that brought up Marissa, you know, Tomei.
She, yeah.
Okay.
Actually, I'm looking for Marissa Tomei bikini pics. Bikini.
Okay, hold
bikini
on.
Free.
You know, I got
do a
I
Bing
got a
search.
With,
do a Bing,
you
Bing
know,
search.
Chris. You know, you're a good speaker, just like I knew you were. But I got a problem with you already. I met Chris, or I didn't meet him, but I first heard about him on the John Sumter show, and I linked from the show page back to that show. He was like, of all the guests I've heard on John Sumter, I haven't heard every show, but I've heard a lot of them.
Neither have I.
This guy stood out. He was
yeah,
just
yet
a
I'm
great
boring
interview.
The crap out of you now.
No, but what you said there, my big takeaway was that you said, look, when you're recruiting IT people, and that's why I thought you were an IT recruiter at the time, you said you can't contact them through InMail. You can't contact them through email. You have to go out and go to their parties and their meetups and go face-to-face.
Yeah.
And here the first thing you tell me, yeah, I use LinkedIn. Yes, I use email. No, I don't always phone people. There's a contradiction there. There's a discontinuity.
No, no, but I did
me.
Tell you.
Did
I tell you there are some positions. There are some positions where I go only to the phone, like recruiting GMs for, you know, for car dealerships.
Okay. Now, we've got a member of the – I'm going to call him. He might not like it, but I'll call him a member of the Animal Crew, and his name's Steve Nahez. And he explained to us the last few weeks how he's got a huge database of automotive engineering types. That's the field he works in. And as soon as he gets a job order, he puts it through this database, and he sends out an email blast to all the people that it brings up as qualified. Let's say if there's a plant manager for – you know, a certain city, he'll go in a certain radius, plant managers with this kind of industry background, boom. And like within an hour of the search coming in, he sent a message out to a lot of people. Very few people unsubscribe, although, you know, he doesn't get replies back from everybody. And his competitive advantage is that he can usually send out, you know, 5 qualified resumes within 72 hours. Is that like anathema to you? It doesn't sound like you'd necessarily be averse to it after speaking to you for a few minutes today.
No, not at all. I mean, if it's a niche position that I, you know, he's a niche recruiter, so he's built and cultivated that network. You know, in cases where I've cultivated the network, oh, the first thing I do is I contact those people. And I'll sometimes email them right off the bat just to get it started, and then I'll follow
You'll
up with
a
phone call.
You'll send a blast? You'll send a blast?
I do blast, but then I'll follow up with phone calls to the people that don't. No,
okay,
but
that's great to hear. I mean, like, but I thought you were a one-track pony, and I'm hearing all kinds of different things today.
Heck no. No, I've got to use everything in my arsenal, and that's when I get upset with the recruiters that don't use the phone or
so
don't look for
hold on a second, though. Just – let me help the listeners catch up. Am I hearing this correctly?
They're not that slow.
When you get a job order, you will get in touch with people you already know about it?
Yeah.
Goodness.
Yeah, because I've got a lot of people
through
in my network.
Through any means at your disposal?
Well, these are people that may or may not be looking, but it's people that I know that might be interested or know the right people. And so I get on the phone and network all the time.
All right. I'll just clarify that.
But you know, as a generalist, you know, I may be a generalist, but most of my contacts are in consumer internet because I was with Yahoo for almost 5 years. So I have a lot of executives in my network, and you know, working on GM stuff, I've got to do it all cold. You know, working on general manager searches, it's all cold research. Anytime
was that
I'm
a lot of what
a
you're doing
stop,
lately? I mean,
it's for one of my clients, AutoNation.
Mm-hmm.
So we're doing a lot of it's cultivating a lot of new people. And so I've got to do email, I got to do phone. I don't do a lot of LinkedIn with that.
Were
book,
you on the show
books.
A couple of years ago talking about this?
No, he's never been
Me?
On. We just met last
Animal,
week.
Who is the guy that all he did was recruited for auto dealerships? Remember him? He was one of your guests.
Was it
Mark Bader?
No, never heard of that guy. Okay, no. So anybody got some questions who's on the line? I don't know if a bunch of people left. I just got bounced
Actually, can
myself.
Can I tell one more story about the phone?
Yeah, sure.
Really good story. So actually, it was at one of the recruiting roadshows. One of the previous speakers was took a little too – the prior to my getting on took a little too long. So I literally had 5 minutes instead of 25. And this was about the phone. I did all this research to try to find a very specialized VP of finance, so somebody who came up a very specific route. I'd identified about 10 people nationwide, but I found a CFO at a company that I thought would be a good fit, you know, that would know the right fit. If it was 10 years earlier in his career, he'd probably be a fit because there's no way he's going to be interested. His assistant wouldn't let me through, so I tried calling in after hours, couldn't leave a voicemail. It always went to her voicemail. Never got a call back, so I thought, well, hey, I'll use switchboard.com and try to find a home phone number. Found a phone number for a gentleman in Half Moon Bay, very affluent neighborhood, so I figured it's probably a good shot. So I called, and his wife answered. I explained the situation, what I was trying to do, and she, she just said, you don't need to talk to my husband. You know, his assistant's a shark. And she spent 5 minutes complaining about the assistant. And she gave me the names of quite a few people. Three of them became finalists, and one person got hired. And so, I ended the story with the line, don't forget to take advantage of the lonely spouses at home.
You know what? I have a question here about, first of all, that's a freak story. I mean, if I thought that was going to happen all the time. No, first of all, there's no spouses at home anymore, in my experience. But we've had,
that's
like,
kind
Mike
of a
Ainsbringer.
Sexist statement.
Well, I said spouses. I didn't say.
Oh, you didn't
I
say didn't, the little misses?
Yeah,
no,
he didn't say that. Okay. But Mike Aestringer and other people have said that, you know, when there's a relocation issue, they'll call the home and say, can I speak to, that was sexist, you know, Bill or whoever, and he is not home during the day. So then he uses that opportunity to speak to the fellow's wife and check out and see if she is willing to make a move. Do you make a point of speaking to spouses if there's relocation involved? Speaking to them directly?
Not like that. That's a little sneaky. But I have actually helped introduce spouses. So after a candidate, says that they're interested in making the move, my spouse has a certain type of job, and then, if I know somebody that could be relevant for them to speak to, I get on the phone, I network for them, I walk them through my job seeker process, which is tell me who you want to talk to. Coach them on what sites to use, and do everything I can to help them land a job sooner rather than later.
Listen to this situation. Listen, let's say you recruit somebody in Ohio for a job in Missouri, not in St. Louis either, a smaller town.
Springfield.
The person accepts the position, and then at the last minute backs out and says, "Oh, my kid's a cheerleader." And this other kid, she wants to go to grade 12 here in this town where we are. And I don't know if the person's wife was that keen about moving either. So this person backed out of a job better than the one he had because he's laid off from his real career and had to take something outside his career that wasn't paying as well. This was a real nice step forward in Missouri. And it was a fall off. So someone like Mike says, look, before I got this person to accept, took it for granted that he accepted it for real, I would make sure I spoke to that fellow's wife. And sure, what would you do? Do you make sure that the wife is on board, or do you just take what the husband says, or vice versa? When the wife says, I'm moving, you call up and make sure the husband's not a little rattled about the idea that he's going to have to leave his job?
Well, I actually had to talk to a husband because he was putting up the candidate, wanted me to talk to her husband because I needed to get him on board. No, I had to get him on board. I had to get him on board. I had to get him on board. And I do try to find out if the person needs help. If the person needs some help getting the spouse around, then I will turn around and provide information that is relevant.
But you don't check that out yourself? You say, listen, I'm sorry. I just don't trust what you're telling me. I need to speak to the spouse.
Who would ever
okay
do that?
I don't do that. That's coming out of perspective of a of no trust. That's not. I've got to trust that the candidate is right.
Well, I
if
just
I
told
can,
you a real life. I just told you a real life story
yeah
where it would have been a good idea to speak to the spouse, because the candidate accepted the position, and then in the end backfired because the spouse and kids weren't on board.
Well, then you have to. You shouldn't be putting all your eggs in one basket with that one candidate. And I had a.
You know
I've
what?
Had,
sometimes you can't find. Sometimes you can't find more than one candidate that the. That the client is interested in. Tell me something else then. If you find a good candidate, a really good candidate, do you wait to get three before you send anybody's in, or do you send
no,
them in one
no,
at a time?
No, I send them over as I get them.
And if the if
I've had a one and done. I've had one and done. We've all had one and done. But
okay. So do you advise if the person says, you know, this person's really good, but you know, I want to see more people. Do you try to sell them on that person who's really good? Say, look, we might lose this person while I'm looking for other people
always
who are just as good or better.
Always, I will
what
always
do you do?
Consult.
How do you do that?
Well,
do that?
I just tell them honestly. I say we are. I tell them like we're not finding a high volume of candidates. We could wait 3 weeks to find another candidate. 4 weeks, 5 weeks. It could be 2 months before we get another good candidate because there aren't very many people that are interested in moving to your geography. And sometimes they listen, sometimes they don't. And when they don't, I try to, you know, talk to them every so often and say, we've contacted X number of people, we've interviewed X number of people, they just don't have the right experience. And I try to come back to that first candidate that I put forward, and I need you to make a decision. Are we moving forward or are we not? I cannot let this candidate hang on too long because we're going to lose them. I'd much rather turn the candidate off than have the candidate just go away. And
well,
so I put my consulting
away
hat on.
You do a takeaway. You do a takeaway. You say, look, if you don't take this guy, I'm going to tell him to forget about it. So you make sort of threaten the client. What if you don't threaten the client? If he or she says, look, Chris, I just don't feel comfortable hiring the first person I see. I want to compare. Go look for more people. Will you go
look for
more?
Well, then I say then I tell them we run the risk of losing the candidate, and so
okay,
I'll try to keep the candidate warm.
You will go look for more people if that's what they want, even though
and then I will communicate what we're doing. I communicate what we're doing at all times. Like, so on a weekly call, weekly email, I try to let the manager know, here's the progress we're making. We're contacting these people, but they're either not interested, unresponsive, or not qualified. And and I try to talk them through it. And it's like, how? And then I always bring up that first candidate.
Are you retained, search, or contingent? Are you retained or contingent?
Retained.
Okay. So have you ever not filled a position?
Yeah. I've even had positions get filled 10 months later, and the hiring manager was totally happy. With three offers,
okay.
Two offers out and rejected, and one offer accepted. And the client couldn't have been happier.
I mean not being able to find anybody for the job.
Yeah.
And you take a fee anyway, right?
Well, more often than not, I'll try to do something to make them feel better. But there have been cases where we've not gotten a fill, and the client turns the search off, and we still got paid.
Okay. Anybody got a question for Chris before I go on? Anybody? There's a lot of people on the line. Questions that will be accepted from Twitter as well.
Do you do exclusively retained then, or just retained
or hourly
in general?
Or hourly. Retained or hourly.
Okay.
Hourly? What do you charge by the hour? You don't have to tell us, but you mean you charge them by the hour?
Yeah.
That's
pretty much so. We do the retained searches, but we also – we even support other search firms.
Well, you do,
right? Yeah, we give them access to our researchers.
How do you get that business?
Almost all of our clients have been personal referrals. People I know, people I've met, people I've placed.
What's the difference? You worked at Yahoo. What's the difference between an internal recruiter and an external? If you can tell us succinctly, I don't want a long story about it.
Really, it's about just having more ownership, like feeling like you have more ownership in the process. That's what we encourage. I mean, we say when we're talking to our clients. We don't say it's IQ Talent versus our client. It's we are trying to fill this. It's when we're talking to candidates, we are trying. You know, we are growing our business.
Okay.
We are trying
that
to
means
find the best.
Meaningless to me. Forget about it. Okay, you wanted to talk about culture. You said culture fit recruiting. So how detailed do you get when you're looking for a culture match? Do you, and I asked this just a few weeks ago to other people, so it might sound familiar to the listeners. You know, do you say, like, listen, Ms. Hiring Manager, do the people in your office like to go out together for drinks on Friday after work, and will they resent it if somebody on the team doesn't want to go? Do they like to have a cake and sing happy birthday for everybody, and so you can't have somebody who's a wet blanket and doesn't want to do that? Does everybody in the office talk about sports, and if somebody's not interested in baseball, will they feel like an outsider and, you know, encourage people to resent them? Finally, you know, do you have an office sports team, you know, like baseball or curling or touch football, and if somebody doesn't want to play, are they going to, you know, build animosity towards them? Do you ask questions like that?
Yeah, but we also try to go on site and feel it and see it for in reality. You know, we actually, like an in-house recruiter, you know, you're there. You see everything happening. You're part of the office. You can go by that team's area. You can get a feel for how the cubes are decorated. So we look at pictures. You know, we try to look at if we can't get into a specific team.
Do you go out to every client site anywhere in the country?
We actually have.
No.
All of our clients.
Do you always do it?
I can say it has been. We actually have gone to every single client site. We have.
Are they all in your own neighborhood? How far will you go? 3,000 miles to visit a client?
We went to Connecticut for one client. We went to Fort Lauderdale for another.
Love it.
So, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Granted, it wasn't like we did it, you know, the day we picked up the project, but we got out there and, you know,
no.
One of the clients.
When did you do it? I mean, you
oh,
want
with,
to get
while we were
the
doing the
can you hold on? Can you hold on a second? Hey, Chris, I need to interject. Sometimes Animal is absolutely shocked by what real recruiters actually do to provide the service that they actually provide. It freaks him out. So I'm just,
yeah, freaks me out. That's right. You know what? Jennifer McClure, whom I respect and I like.
JJ.
JJ. When she became a headhunter, she said she went out to visit every client and she spent about 2 days on site. She's not a headhunter anymore. She's a strategic advisor for corporate recruiters. So I just think that is, you know, maybe if you retain search and they're going to pay you no matter what, do you bill them for that flight out to their place or do you pay out of your own pocket?
We did not bill it back.
Okay, so you just paid. What were they spending a lot of money? So for anybody calls you in Connecticut, you're in California, right?
Yeah.
Where are you located? So you're in California. If anybody calls you from New York or Maine or anything like that, you'll fly out there to find out what their culture's like. Is that what you're telling me?
Yeah, we have.
Okay.
And it's what we do.
No.
It's
we
how we work.
We always do or we have or we always do. It's our policy.
We always do,
always...
but it may not be right when we kick off the project, but we do get out there during the project.
When the project's over? Is that when you do it?
No. It's during the project. During the project.
Okay. So what kind of, how do you match the client – and the culture. I want to know.
Can I interject something here, though?
Yeah.
You know, we all talk about culture and as if it's something that we can go. And once we go somewhere, we know what their culture is. I was at a new company Friday. You couldn't tell anything about their culture. Walk around, nothing's happening. Everybody's kind of quiet, doing their job, which is really about the way most companies are, unless you're in some startup and everybody's playing foosball. So in general, you can walk through the accounting department. You can walk through the IT department. Pretty much the same. Everybody's quietly doing their job. So then we went out to lunch, and I asked some of the questions that Animal was just talking about. Hey, do you guys all like to go hang out, like have a beer after work? Do you go out for pizza? No. How would you describe your team? Well, you know, just four or five guys just kind of doing their job, you know?
Yeah, and then you're
going to
hire
after two or three
new.
Questions,
yeah,
I realized... This is a stupid discussion.
No. The thing is, then from that point, if you're going to find somebody that's high, if you find a candidate who is high energy, they're not going to fit. They're not going to like the environment. You got to find a wet noodle.
How do you know that? High energy?
I don't know. I don't know about that.
What are the indicators
that?
Of high energy? What are the indicators of a high energy
client? Exactly.
Somebody who talks fast.
Somebody who is really passionate, really energetic. Because what you just described to me, those people are not energetic. They're not. They're not coming across as passionate.
They're heads down workers. No,
they're just getting.
But if I find somebody who is incredibly talkative, who is talks about their current role and like, oh yeah, we're constantly partnering, we're constantly talking. It's a really collaborative environment. What you described to me is not a collaborative environment. It is not an environment that encourages, you know, lots of communication. I'm going to screen that person out. That is part of the culture fit.
Back to the bigger picture though. You take a tour of the office, the company, you go around the whole building and the parking lot and the other building across the street and the accounts payable group. You can't really tell too much by doing that.
I'm tired of
the lies about this. Well, we go on site and check out their culture. You can't tell.
No,
shit
you have to get no.
About
you have to get to know the hiring manager
there.
And the direct reports and the other people this person is going to be interfacing with. The rest of that, you know, walking around every floor, every building, that's not going to give you the idea that you need the information you need for the candidate.
Okay. So let me ask you, it's just a gut feel, there's no checklist that you go through about culture with the client and the candidates. Am I right about that? You don't have a list of things you ask them, you know, do you like peanut butter, do you play poker and stuff like that. You don't ask a bunch of questions. You just sort of go for a gut feel, like, well, this is high energy.
No, we have conversations. We ask about what's the environment like. Is it collaborative? You know, we ask questions about how people work together.
What does that mean? Is it collaborative?
Who would say
it's
not a collaborative environment?
Are people constantly talking to each other? Is there you know, people yelling at each other from their cubes to their offices? Do you have people walking into other people's offices all the time? Do you see whiteboard sessions going on? Do you like to – or is everybody, you know, like in the example that Jerry used, is everyone heads down and, you know, quiet and not talking to one another?
And now go to the candidate. Do you ask the candidate, listen, do you like this kind of culture? They're all shouting at each other all the time.
I don't specifically come out. I'm not that blatant about it. I try to get them to talk to me about how they work. How they work with their team, the team that they're with. What types of environments do they thrive in? I try not to look. I don't want to.
I got to tell you. I think I'm boring people with this already, but I got to finish it. What questions do you ask to find out about someone's culture? Specific questions.
No. How do you work with your colleagues?
He was just saying.
I was just telling all that.
Are you listening,
animal? Yeah. Were you not listening to me? Am I that boring?
Yes, I was. Well,
I try to get them to tell me how they work. And the thing is, I do the same thing with the hiring managers. I even talk to peers. So when I'm talking to some of the people that are going to be on the interview panel, how do you expect to work with this person? What do you expect this person to do? How do you expect this person to be?
The way I see it, if it's a vague general question like that, people don't know how to answer. If you say, what's your culture like? They don't know what to say.
I don't ever use the word culture.
No. Listen to me. You got to make a checklist and prompt them so they know what you're talking about, and you can, you know, give them something concrete to focus on. Like, how do you work together? What does that mean? Okay? You got to say, well, this is what it means. Are you guys shouting across the office at each other? Do you swear a lot? You know, are you whiteboarding all the time? And whatever it is. Okay, I'm going to move on. Anybody got some questions who's on the line or on Twitter, you know, before I bore the death out of you? Okay. Is it possible this week the guest gets higher rated than the host? The guest always gets higher rated than me, okay? Anyway, so look, there's only
You want me to change that up a little bit for you, animal?
No, don't worry about it.
Okay. Say the word, okay. Man.
I like the guest to feel good. No, what about loser feedback? You just said sometimes you'll get a wet noodle. Let's say, you send somebody out and they say, look, this guy is a wet noodle. These candidates are coming to you and saying, oh, you know, I really wanted that job, Chris. What went wrong? What are you going to tell them? How transparent are you really? This is the test. Are you going to say you're a drip? Nobody liked you there, personally. Is he going to tell them?
Oh, I've told candidates that you're not projecting the right, you know, energy and passion for the role. When you come in and talk about something, you know, I've also had the other thing. You know, it's like I've had people that were underwhelmed, and I've had people that came across as cocky. And I'll tell people honestly, without saying any, you know, I'll try not to use anything that could be, you know, illegal. I won't say, you know, if my client is trying to, I'll push back. You know, I don't like it when somebody says, you know, not a culture fit. I will push back and say, what does that mean? What is wrong with this candidate? Why does this candidate not work? And more often than not, it's like just they didn't have the energy, they didn't have the passion for the role, and I will communicate that to the candidate. You didn't come across as having the right passion, the right energy to fit with the team.
Well,
or you got somebody that's too cocky, or somebody that's too cocky saying, I could do your job.
You talked to me for an hour, Chris, before you sent me out, or we talked twice, we had extended conversations. Why didn't you filter me out on that basis beforehand? You must have thought I was a half decent chance. What went
wrong, but if they
Chris?
Don't, but the thing is, you know, talking with me, they're going to have they might have a different, different persona. I've had people have, different phone voices, even.
You know what? I think this is where it's important to brief your candidate before they go in for the job interview and tell them what type of culture it is, and prepare them for what type of conversation and the personalities of the people they're going to be.
If they bomb the interview, I'm going to tell them honestly, you didn't project the passion I thought you had. You didn't come across
this
as energetic.
That's so subjective. I mean, I would just say you weren't the best qualified. I mean, that's the legal terminology to use.
So you're saying just use whatever the legal terminology is, but don't tell them the truth. Don't offer anything constructive.
I don't agree with that. Because sometimes the candidates just need to be coached a little bit, this way they learn for the next opportunity.
Chris, listen to me, okay? The hiring manager comes back. This guy was a drip. He didn't have the energy I want. And don't you ever say, look, Miss Hiring Manager, I spoke to this guy for 2 hours in a few different interviews. This guy is good. You can't take one interview where he might be nervous or whatever and throw him out for that reason, because I've got to tell you something. I'm not going out hunting for somebody who's as qualified as this just because you don't like the way he smiles. Don't give me that.
I push back all the time. And we've actually, Tom Millick, the managing partner, he did a search. And he had a candidate that he really, really liked. And he kept championing through the client. And ultimately, this was even before the phone screen. They were just looking at the resume and saying, no, we pushed. You have to push sometimes. That's the consulting.
It's harder to push once they've actually seen. It's easy to push when it's just a resume.
You can change people's minds. They may not take your advice, but you have to try.
Okay.
They may not take your advice. You cannot make a hiring manager, change his or her mind.
I got to admit something. I never try because that's just not my thing. I don't think badgering anybody is going to help them hire your
badgering.
Guy.
If you have a cogent argument as to why the candidate needs a second chance, you should try.
And it depends on how hard that position is to fill, Jerry.
Yeah.
I mean, if there's only 20 people in the United States who can do that job, then you are going to push.
Well, if there were only 20 people in the U.S. that could do the job, I would have never taken the search to begin with. I'm not a magician, not a miracle worker.
But that's what other people
do. That's a good question, Jerry. Do you ever turn to, are there any searches you would refuse to work, Chris?
Great question. Oh, was that my question? I was going to say, that sounded familiar, and that was an awesome question.
Oh, we've walked away.
And it was
me. If we couldn't get behind a company, we've walked away.
What does that mean?
If we didn't believe in the product or we didn't like the hiring manager, we didn't take the search.
What do you mean you don't like the hiring manager? What do you mean?
If we're not willing to put our reputation on the line to place somebody with that person.
Tell me a story. You don't have to be specific in terms of names.
I will tell you. We met a CEO of a startup, and just crazy as crackers. Bat crap crazy. And he was ready for us to do the search, and we're like, no, sorry, this isn't for us.
Really? And did you tell him? He said why? And did you say, well, you're nut? Or what?
We told him honestly. I don't think we could, find somebody that, I don't think it would be successful. I don't think
we would
be successful.
Well, do you ever have hiring managers that you do accept and work for them, but then you find they're not good interviewers? They just talk about themselves or their company in a way that's not of interest and doesn't sell people on it. Or maybe they're, the great stone face and they're not very – they're kind of scary. What do you do then?
Well, we've actually had that happen. We had a candidate that said the hiring manager's weird, and she was no longer interested. And so we coached the client. We said, hey, this candidate who you really liked thought you came off as a little weird.
And you really said that?
Like,
Yeah,
and
when
I
said,
say.
I said, so what did you, what happened during the interview that you think would have made it, you know, made it an issue? And he thought about it, and he actually honestly said, I think it was probably when I said this, and it just kind of, and it started the conversation. It started a dialogue. If somebody interviews four people and all four people bomb the interview, but I think they're qualified, that means either I've not done a good job of getting the hiring manager to truly communicate to me what he or she's looking for. And if that happens, if I get to like three or four people and they all interview on site and they don't pass the screens or whatever, I'm going to step in and say, what am I doing wrong? And
okay, yeah, you know what, don't go there. I want to ask another question before you finish, although I have to say, sounds like you're creating an explosive. If you tell someone, candidate, thought you were weird, first of all, I think you're betraying a confidence with the candidate, and they're
I asked that candidate if I could communicate that,
okay.
And she
but
said
but they're
yes.
Working in the same line of business, so what happens when they meet at a trade show? Oh, here's the girl who thinks I'm weird. Okay, I mean, that could be
I got
a
permission. I got permission. I will not betray anyone's trust. I will not say anything that's told to me in confidence, but I was asked. Yeah.
One more question.
Don't weird people already know they're weird?
I don't
well,
think
in
so.
This case, he was self-aware enough to figure out. He was self-aware enough to know what he said that came across as weird.
Okay, look, you are a generalist. You're one of the first people who admitted to being a generalist because everybody else says, you have to know your field, so you have to be a niche recruiter, so you can go back to the same people all the time, and your research just accumulates. It's like a force multiplier, because every search just builds your database. You're a generalist, and so you kind of have to throw away your research every time on every search. And
we
you
try to recycle when we can.
Okay, yes, I understand. I'm a generalist. I understand it, too. So, but the thing is, how can you sell your searches when Joe Blow, I went out with Anthony when we were working together. We went and we had a great conversation, great rapport with a guy who ran a big coat manufacturing company here. And he used to be the VP at a big bookstore that we used to admire. And we had a great meeting with him. In the end, he said, how many retail searches did you guys do last year? 3. And he said, well, why don't I go to this other company that's done 50? And we couldn't beat him. I mean, what would you have said?
Oh, what do I say? What do I say when I get asked that question? I said it's about process. It's about finding the right person for you. And I'm not going to recycle, you know, people I keep trying to interview, I keep placing. I'm not going to recycle the same old list. I'm going to do my best to find the right people for you.
Yeah,
and if they don't
No. It's not a matter of knowing the same old people. He says, you don't know anybody. You're going to have to start from scratch. They know who's out there. They know where the bodies are. And just because they talked to them before doesn't mean they're no good. They just might not have been ready to move for that other position. Now they know where to go. You, Chris, have to start from scratch. Now
I have to sell myself, and I sell myself every time. I may not be able to sell my body of work. I may not have the right body of work. I might not have the right body of work, but I've got to sell myself as an executive recruiter and my firm. And so I have to sell my process. I have to sell the way we work and say, here's what we do to find you the right people. And if they ultimately still want to go, if a hiring manager or a potential client wants to just go with somebody who's been doing, you know, that has that book of business that is exactly what they're looking for, they're going to go with that person anyway. So I have to sell myself every single time.
Okay, yeah, that's a non-answer. Next time you come on,
we'll
start
with that
question.
If
I can't sell, you know, representative searches, if I don't have representative searches that are in the same space, what else do I sell? I sell myself.
Okay, time you come back, I'd like you to come back again. We'll start off with that. You'll tell us some real stories about it. Anything else you want to say, parting words?
No, I'm good.
Okay.
Thanks for coming, Chris.
I enjoyed having you. Now we're going to Jerry's After Show. Chris Murdoch, it's IQTalentPartners.com. Thank you!
Help me, baby. Hello?
Hello.
Oh, am I still on? I'm losing it. I'm losing my mind today.
You're on.
What's going on, everybody? Kathy?
Are we the only ones on?
I think we are.
No, you're not.
Oh, my God.
No.
Okay.
Yes, we are.
Well, people speak up then.
Yeah. How's it going out there? You and I can talk.
Yeah.
We'll have a private discussion that Animal can tape and take pieces out and use down the road if he needs to.
Okay.
Yeah.
I thought Animal did a great job today.
Very
I thought he
good
asked
show.
Great questions.
Yep.
And he had great scenarios to come back with. I mean, I thought Animal was at his just, he was stellar. And I thought the guest was stellar.
Yeah.
It was a good show. A lot of people were saying it was. So, gosh, I'd give
the
him
dude
both
makes
a
placements.
Night.
I love it every time somebody comes on and they make placements.
You know,
because
I got
that's
hired
the inside
where
I'm looking
working.
For.
I got hired where I'm working now because I am a generalist. They were looking for a generalist because I'm working so many different types of jobs.
You're industry agnostic. That's what they call it now.
I guess so. So there is room for us out there.
Yes, there is. But,
yeah.
Yeah.
And
no room for Animal,
my
he's,
husband was talking
it.
About your tree all weekend. He thought it was unbelievable.
Well, you know, we're blessed to have a tall ceiling.
I know. I was thinking about that.
That angel, the first time when I first put it in the stand, it was too tall. Like the top of the tree poked the ceiling. So
yeah.
We had to take it back out and cut off about maybe 8 inches or 12 inches. And also, then it went further down into the stand tube. That's a heavy. You have to have a heavy duty Christmas tree stand for one of those trees.
I read how you constructed that. That was unbelievable.
No, I must admit, I bought that though.
You did.
Yeah, I don't know if there's any other ones like it. I've never seen them anywhere.
I've never seen that. Did you cut the tree yourself?
No. Sometimes, like last year I did. This year the guy said, man, we don't have any more trees out there. This is it. And I thought, man, that is just too big. Because, I mean, it really is just, it's ridiculous big. But one year I brought one home that was like too short.
Mm-hmm.
Nicole was bummed out. And it looked tiny. If you have a tall ceiling and then you get like
right.
a 9-foot tree, it's stupid.
Well, that's some tree. Wow!
I figured I will make it work, and it's working. So,
yeah, gosh.
Yeah, yep. Christmas.
Well, I
is
give
on
them
the way.
Both a 95. I think it was a great show.
Really?
Yeah, I do.
95. Whatever happened to Maureen? Animal.
She's around. She is around, but I don't know why she's not on.
Yeah.
Well, what's the deal with Maureen? Where is she? What's going on? Why has she abandoned you?
She doesn't talk to me anymore.
Why?
Oh, come on.
I don't know.
Anything we can do to help you patch it up?
No, I don't think she comes to the show anymore because you're too noisy, Jerry.
Seriously?
I don't know. I'm just guessing.
You know that hurts me. What about
yeah.
Karen Seawack?
I know. Well, Karen was having some medical issues, and she's better now, so...
Cool.
Yeah. So
Not cool that she was having medical issues, but...
No,
she's better.
I know. I know what you meant. But it was...
I think a lot of people just over time realize that nobody's making any money doing this.
Yeah.
So either you're independently wealthy, or you don't need to make any money, or for some reason...
No, it's a nice once-a-week break.
Nice little break. Maybe yeah. I'm just talking about the social media, Twitter stuff in general. I spend too much time on it.
I don't use Twitter hardly at all. So
the only time I'm on Twitter now is during the Animal Show.
Me too.
Twitter sucks.
I think so too.
Why are you still on there so much, Animal?
It's my favorite social media.
Twitter is?
Yeah.
Did you hear how Al Roker went off on LinkedIn today on the Today Show?
What would he even know about LinkedIn?
He's being contacted by people from LinkedIn, and he's just had it with LinkedIn. And someone was trying to tell him it was for professional networking, and he was, like, ranting and raving about LinkedIn. It was pretty funny.
I need to check that out. Because I'm sure that I would view it the same way that he does. It started off as an interesting, hey, yeah, this is how you network with other people. Now it is a recruiting database full of recruiters and crap.
Yep.
I still think if somebody's really just going to go, they want a new job, they're going to go to Monster and stick their resume on there.
I don't think so.
Yeah, oh yeah, yeah. I absolutely. Yep.
I don't even know how to use Monster or Career Builder. I have never searched on there.
To me, it's still just their branding is from just so early on. Yo, you're looking for a new job? Yeah, have you tried Monster? Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Well, I think for admin or more lower-level jobs, it's still a good place. But if you're looking for, like, a director of a laboratory in a hospital, they're not going to have their resume on Monster.
You never know.
True.
You just never know. All right, well, I'm in the middle of a bunch of stuff, so.
Animal, good show today. Really good. And
good show, Animal.
Good. Yeah.
Unfortunately, I don't think we have enough scores to qualify as an official score. It'd be like at the Olympics, there's one judge. are you going to give him a, you know what I mean?
Yeah, but look at the Twitter feed. It looked like it was all very positive.
Okay. Let me see. I don't even have I have to go sign on to Twitter now, like just go there. I don't even have a little
yeah, I do too.
App or anything. Twitter sucks.
But people were saying that it was a good conversation.
All right.
I mean,
so you got any big holiday plans, Kathy?
Well, I'm going home to California on Sunday. And
you're in Colorado right now?
Yeah, so we had a big family dinner for his kids and grandchildren on Sunday. And then I'm going back to California, and one of my son's birthdays, and the other one's coming home from college. And
awesome.
We're just going to have sort of a small Christmas. And
do you ever get confused when you're saying, like, you're in Colorado with Coronado?
Yes.
I mean, that would trip me
clothes
up.
It does, and I don't know what clothes are where, or, like,
goodness.
I think I lost things, and so now I just have duplicates, so I don't have to bring
them. So now you're just wearing sweats around, workout outfit everywhere?
Yeah, I just leave duplicates. But it is.
Is Mike A. Stringer going to rejoin us as a group?
You know, that whole thing, I've talked to him. He wants me to train one of his people.
Yeah? Tell him to come back.
I am.
He proved his point.
I am. He wanted me to put on your page that Mike A. Stringer, something like we miss Mike. Mike A. Stringer is wondering if he's being missed. He wanted me to put that, but I haven't done it yet. I'm afraid it was.
Well, he is.
I know.
It just all went too far with Nahez, Kathy.
I know.
It went too far. You can't call people gay and stuff because
that's true.
You know, it just went too far.
But you know, Mike has a weird personality. He has really severe highs and severe lows.
Yes, I know.
You know,
well, just encourage him to rejoin us.
I will. I'll tell him that he's missed.
Tell him he's missed.
Okay.
As is everybody that's not with us.
Okay.
Maureen.
Yeah, I'll talk to Maureen. Yeah. And Karen. Yeah, I will.
Andy Gregory, Ray Ann.
Are you going to have a Christmas? I guess I
tried it last year, and it was just too weird. I think some things are just hard to recreate ever.
Yeah, that was great.
You know, it was a great time. There you have it. Party's over.
Yeah, all right.
Well, we'll see you around on the Internet, Facebook, or something. Go get a big tree.
Thanks.
Bye.
Talk to you later. Bye.
Animal would like to know, Michael, have you had any success with hiring from your talent network or talent pipeline or talent communities?
We have hired 15 people as a result of the pipeline, and I know that we're adding 4 or 5 more this month. So I think that's successful. Really, it's shortened our time to fill, our cost per hire, the cost of turnover. We've done it all, and I think 15 hires is a good start in the first 6 months.
Oh, we're looking ahead, and the future does not look good for LinkedIn.
I make cold calls until I was able to book enough appointments for the rest of the week so I'd hit my target of having 15 appointments a week face-to-face with clients. And I didn't have a number of cold calls.
All right, so 18 years in the industry, started with a family firm, recruiting industry.
Oh, there you have it.
Started
Gary, wake up.
Firm.
You recommended this guy. Go ahead.
Don't let me